Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. We're trying to figure out how to do this thing, the mom thing, the entrepreneur thing, while trying to turn all the lemons into lemonade.
And figuring out how to grow our own little lemonade stands we've started.
But metaphorically.
Metaphorically.
Yeah, they get it.
I'm Shaylee Murphy, an interior designer and mom of one with one on the way.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer and mom of four. Shaylee, before I use FreshBooks Cloud Accounting, you know how I keep track of time tracking?
Oh, how?
So when I started work, I just have reruns of 30 Rock playing in the background. And then at the end, I just add up how many minutes were in each episode. And then I'd be like, hey, you owe me 430 Rocks of graphic design.
What about commercial breaks? Did you account for those?
Huh.
Oh, guys. The all-new FreshBooks is ridiculously easy to use. FreshBooks will also handle your time tracking, so when it comes time to create that invoice, you'll know what you did and when you did it, and 30 Rock will have nothing to do with it. And might I add, time tracking software is expensive to buy on its own, and FreshBooks has it included, which is awesome. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our listeners. You just go to freshbooks.com/SK and enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
Hey, that was really good. That was like 1/4 of a 30 Rock.
Wow, with a commercial, without
a commercial. Shaylee, can I describe to you the best possible version of myself?
Please. Please do.
I would think about all the dinners Monday through Friday on Sunday. And then I would just coast through the week like a little Planny McPlannerstein. My husband would be in awe. My kids, stunned silent. The neighbors, they just come running at the scent of slow-baked brisket with braised cabbage and carrots.
You don't have neighbors, Katie. We're on a
farm. A news crew shows up and they say, maybe you can have it all.
This is becoming a little
unrealistic. What's her secret? Prep dish.
Wow. Well,
wow, she's oversell. Amazing.
That's an oversell, Katie. But Prep Dish is amazing. And Prep Dish is a meal planning service that offers gluten-free and paleo meals. And every week you get an email with a grocery list, prep ahead instructions, so that all of your meals are ready for the week with no guesswork needed. Guys, save your brain. Try this out for 2 weeks at prepdish.com/SK.
Prep Dish. The news will show up.
Probably.
Guaranteed.
Right? We can't guarantee that.
100%.
Don't email us if the press doesn't show up.
Guys, welcome back to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. Today we have Michelle Knight. And let me tell you something. If you're used to Katie Day, you're going to love Michelle Knight. My alter ego.
By Knight.
Just kidding. It's an actual person.
Like a sword.
And it's a Camelot thing. Not, okay.
Not even.
I digress. She's going to talk today about storytelling, vulnerability, building your brand by sharing your own personal story, and also a bit about overcoming perfectionism and comparisonitis as both an entrepreneur and a mom. And we loved her.
Yes,
she's
guys.
Local-ish.
She's local. In Missouri. We found out she was in Missouri. She talks about boundaries, having harmony, which we'll tell you what that means later.
I love it.
And then also she gives us a small verbal tongue lashing about email lists.
Yeah, well, we asked her to.
We deserved
it. And she did do it. But she has built a six-figure business and a thriving community of women that are ready to share her story. So let's learn a little bit more from Michelle. But first.
But first, we have to thank our amazing fake sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by
Musical Theater People. So we need some taglines for Musical Theater People.
Okay. Musical Theater People.
We're exhausting. Awesome. I'm sorry. I read it wrong. I read it as exhausting, but awesome. We're awesome.
You meant awesome.
Okay. Hey, Michelle.
Hi. Thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah. What time? Where do you live and what time is it there?
I live in St. Louis, Missouri, so it's only 9:30, but I'm not a morning person.
We're kindred spirits. Yeah, I would say we had to hustle to make this 9:30.
Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't at 7. I'm like, it's not 7 a.m. Why are we sweating? Like, just getting the kids somewhere and getting somewhere else by 9:30 is a feat.
What do you call St. Louis? Do you call it St. Louis Bread Company or Panera? This is important.
Oh, St. Louis Bread Company.
Forever, never, amen.
Forever and ever.
That's what I said when they switched ours to Panera, and guess what happened? I crossed over. And now I call it Panera, but I grew up with St. Louis Bread Company.
Okay, well, we are obsessed with you. Let's just get that out of the way.
Thanks. Love that. That's a good compliment.
We want our listeners to hear your story, so just give it to us. We're ready.
Okay, ready, everyone? Lean back, enjoy. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version, or we could be here for a really long time. Yes. So my story, my entrepreneurial journey really started when my son was born. But I like to say one of my first major transitions happened about 10 years ago, actually, next year, with the loss of my brother. So my brother, my very best friend, actually passed away from childhood cancer. Mm-hmm. And that shifted everything for me. I took a look at my life. I was like, well, this isn't great. I don't really love what I'm doing. I don't love who I've become. And that kind of set in motion, I would say, a 7-year discovery where I really looked at, you know, my major was musical theater at the time, and it wasn't filling me up anymore. And I started making the switch over to communications, and every job that I had, I would literally just ask myself, am I still happy? Am I still happy? And that's literally what I did for years. And I found myself working in the nonprofit industry, loving my life, lived back home in St. Louis, Missouri with my husband. And then my son was born. And everything was flipped over yet again. And what I thought was kind of my like comfortable life, I realized again, wasn't fully the life that I had always dreamed myself living. I always loved traveling, and it seems so silly, but to ask off for vacation was like gut-wrenching for me.
Yeah.
Like I hated it so much. I never had time. It was like a joke at the office that I had an hour and I'd be like, bye, I'm leaving, I'm going to do something. Mm-hmm. And when my son was born, I looked at my husband and I was like, I think like now is my time. I think this is it. And I think he thought I was insane because you have a new baby, right? We're like living off of basically nothing at the time. And I wanted to leave my job and start my own business. So I still don't really know why he said yes, but we just go with it. So he basically supported me over the next couple months as I really, one, battled postpartum, looking back at it now, and was trying to figure out kind of who I was in the process yet again, and creating my business. And for 9 months, we did that while working a 9-to-5 until finally I took the leap and I started this business. And I'm so glad that I listened to that inner knowing within myself and did it, because we've really just created like the most beautiful scenario for ourselves and our family, all because we kind of just like went for it.
Yeah. I think you're being a little humble the way you describe this business.
And then
I started selling
socks out of a garage.
I sold some socks and I made like, you know, a couple $100. Like, can you tell us a little bit about that business?
You don't have to go into too much detail, but it's been successful.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, for 9 months, it was the entrepreneur, what am I doing? Questioning, working my butt off, raising a baby. And then I finally signed a freaking client. So I'm actually a branding and business coach for female entrepreneurs. Uh-huh. And at this stage of my business, I am able to support women, whether they are just getting ready to launch, they're looking to run their business with ease, or they're ready to scale. And I've been really fortunate to use storytelling to build a really strong and beautiful community and connection in the online space. And in 2 years, have really built my business to multiple six figures. And it really comes down to me just showing up, talking about what I want to talk about, giving massive amounts of value, and people ultimately just trusting me.
Yeah, I like that, because I think sometimes it's more simple than people think. If you have like a quality or something to share, it's like, I just showed up and I did it. Well,
I know. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I tell people. It can be simple. It's not necessarily easy, right? You have to put in the time and the energy, and it can be hard work, but it can be very simple in the way that you are doing it.
Ooh, can I just meditate on simple versus easy for a second?
Simple versus easy.
I like that a lot. And when you say you coach primarily women, you said,
mm-hmm.
And you do that in person, or you do that remotely, or is it a mix?
Everything is virtual. So
the world's your oyster.
World is my oyster. And, you know, my first client was from Canada. I have clients from Australia and the UK. I still don't have one from St. Louis, Missouri. So if anyone listening wants to...
Do you have anyone from
Springfield, Missouri? Because, you know, I know two people that are...
No, I don't actually.
Ready to scale. We need to just send out an email.
We're trying
to our email list.
Our goal this year is send out one newsletter to our newsletter subscribers.
We're the story you don't want to hear, where it's like, we're actually like a successful podcast, but we've never sent an email out to an email list.
Well, we're not email bikes.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah.
I know. We're working
on
it.
It's hurting. Okay. It's hurting Michelle.
Okay.
A little bit.
And I also, I love how you emphasize storytelling. That's like a trigger word for me, a good trigger. Because I just feel like that is truly how I learn, is through hearing stories. And we've joked, Shaylee and I have joked about, like, when you're in church and, like, there's a lot of good content, but you start to zone out and then they're like, here's a story. And you're like, all of a sudden leaning in.
Is it mildly funny?
Yeah. Anecdotal. And I just feel like I think that's a huge way about how I learn. So can you tell me a little bit more about the storytelling part?
Yeah, I actually fell into this, and it was only because in the beginning, I didn't really know what to talk about, you know, like you're experimenting. So it's like, well, what do I know how to talk about? I'll talk about, you know, what it's like to have a baby and grow my business and share the ups and downs. And I noticed how people started responding. And, you know, it's during a time in social media where everyone's saying engagement is low, you know, and no one cares about what we're posting. But I was seeing that people still cared. And so, you know, it was like ding, ding, ding in my brain that this was kind of this, the secret to really creating not just a successful business, but these deep relationships with people, whether they're ready to be a client now or later. And the power of storytelling is that it makes you memorable, just like you're saying, right? You could be like kind of in like La La Land, and then you get pulled in with this story and you probably remember that person. There's some little piece. And if you continuously do that as, you know, a brand or an influencer, people really, they seek out your stories. They want to like know what you're doing. And I think that is what's so important when you have specifically a personal brand, because it's at its core, it's all about the relationship. So I really work with my clients and in my own business as well to be vulnerable with my audience, to talk about the things that, you know, maybe go against what everyone else is talking about or that seem a little uncomfortable. And I have just found that that is when the walls kind of come down and my audience speaks up and they're like, oh, okay. Yeah. That, I,
thank
that
you
happens
for saying
to me
it out
too.
Loud. Thank you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Validation.
So you've talked about vulnerability. What about, I mean, you just shared with us this, like, just a soundbite of this like heart-wrenching terrible loss of your brother. Was that hard to learn how to share? I mean, do you feel like you have a vulnerability hangover every time you share it? Or, I mean, do you get like more comfortable sharing something so personal?
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting because with my brother, and I think with my background in musical theater, I was doing a lot of like interviews. Like my brother had a pretty public story in St. Louis at the time because we fought with insurance. And so I was doing like news interviews, and even after he passed away, like talking about his struggle. And then my mom actually created a nonprofit in his honor. And so I was speaking on that. So it's kind of weird because speaking about, you know, kind of the tangible, the things, the surface level things is easy. But when we start talking about, you know, the grieving process, that's something I've had to learn, like how to share that in a way that is, you know, that gives my audience something. It's not just me, you know, just like talking. I can do that on my own time with the ones that I love. And I think that's the important part of sharing your story in the online space, is it's not like a dear diary. It's not just like word vomit. It's how can you share your story, especially as a brand, in a way that gives something to your audience, that either motivates them or inspires them or gives them permission to do something as well. And so in the beginning, I didn't really talk about the grief as much. And it's really kind of over the past couple of years, I've started talking about it on podcasts and being more open with it because I saw a need for it, for me to kind of share more of that struggle and that journey.
Yeah. So just to hang on that for a second, we were just talking to a friend about this, and she went through an unexpected divorce suddenly. But for her, she was talking about she had to grieve that, like some people grieve a death. Some people grieve a marriage, and some people grieve like, my life doesn't look like I thought it would when I wrote in my diary when I was in eighth grade or whatever, you know, whether they're grieving, I thought I'd have five kids by now and I'm still single, you know. But what like little steps would you have or advice would you have for somebody who is grieving something in their life, whether it's, you know, the death of somebody close to them and something tragic or just anything in their life?
Yeah. I love what you said too, before I jump into that, about the grieving comes in different forms, because I even grieved when my son was born, like losing my old identity.
Your loss of freedom.
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh. Like seriously, like for months and months, I was like, what is happening? This is not how this is supposed to go. Mm-hmm. And I think for both of those scenarios, the loss of my brother and that, I was not, I'm not a celebrity, but in the public eye, you know, like people weren't watching me through the process. But just recently, actually, we lost my mother-in-law. So I have been going through this. And some of the things that I have really noticed is like, number one is to be so compassionate with yourself. Like you do not have to pretend to have it all together, like ever, but especially when we're grieving. Mm-hmm. And I know for people who can maybe relate to the idea of always having to be on, you know, or like a perfectionist.
Oh my gosh. Yes, Michelle. Yes. Yeah.
It's like we have to be over it in like a day. And with my brother, I did that like really fast. I was like, oh, I got to be on it. And most recently with my mother-in-law, I was like, okay. Like, I know that that's one of the most important pieces. And if we don't do that, if we don't take the step back, if we're not compassionate with ourselves, if we don't let ourselves cry, if we don't let ourselves sleep, if we don't let ourselves eat the Oreo, you know, like we have to go through that
or
process.
Box.
Or box of Oreos.
Those are very controlled examples.
Yeah. It never happens. And I think that's the first step, is like being compassionate with yourself. And then I think the second piece is to check in with yourself often. So this is something I do as an entrepreneur, just in general. But when I am going through a grieving of any kind, I constantly have to ask myself, how am I feeling? And if I find myself getting angry or frustrated or incredibly sad, I really want to pinpoint the trigger in which led me to that point, because I think that's part of the healing process, is understanding what those triggers are. And it's not about removing them forever, but it's acknowledging them, giving them their space, so then you can kind of continue. And over time, it's like a muscle. It just gets stronger and stronger, and you can kind of go through those moments and reflect and, you know, smile faster than you did, you know, 6 months ago.
Right.
And so I think the compassion, I think the being easy on yourself, the checking in, and ultimately just finding people that you can really talk to is so important. So, you know, I'm really lucky to have my husband, and my husband was actually my brother's best friend. So before we even dated, we were talking about these things. But, you know, whether it's a parent, a friend, you know, a spouse, anything like that, I think it's just really important to have those conversations. And even if it's just telling people like, I'm struggling, like, this is hard right now, and they'll just be there with you, and that's totally fine.
Oh, yes. So good. I don't have that much experience with grief, but I did lose a couple pregnancies. And I remember like being jealous. I was watching an old movie where they're required to wear black during their time of grief. And I was like, that is such a good idea, because you have no idea what someone's going through. And, you know, I wasn't 100% my best business owner. I let a couple emails slack and whatnot. And some of that was, I mean, I could go off on a tangent on that, of how I shouldn't have had 100% of the responsibility in my business so that I could have grieved. But at the time, feeling like people are probably going to be irritated with me because I'm not on my A game, and there's no way to just tell the world, hey, I'm going through something right now. And so I do think it gave me a lot of empathy, because you just got to assume if someone's not treating you 100%, there is a chance they're going through something. So I just kind of give grace to a lot more people now. But man, we should wear black again. Remember?
Yeah, only black is like really cool now. So I don't think.
Everyone would be in black.
Something else. Rainbow?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll work it out. Okay, so we also want to hear about this perfectionism word.
Oh, man.
Would you call yourself a perfectionist, Michelle?
I would call myself at this point a recovering perfectionist.
I like it.
Yeah, it is an ongoing, joyous battle that I'm on.
First step is admitting there's a problem.
It's true, and it took me 27 years to do that. So, you know, for a long time, I wore that label with pride because that's just what I was called all the time. And it was like, okay to be that. I feel like back in high school, I mean, I remember as a kid, my teachers being like, oh, you're a perfectionist. It's great. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, and then, and I'm a Virgo on top of it.
No, I'm perfect. I'm not a perfectionist. I'm just good at everything. I'm the best.
And I was like, oh, this is great. And then as I became an adult and started identifying kind of where that was really kind of harming me, and like I was setting standards and I was getting sick and I was pushing myself to a point where, you know, I, like I said, I would get ill or I would get, you know, frustrated, or I never threw in the towel, but right. I would just keep pushing, and it became exhausting. And everything really kind of brought itself to the surface when I started this business because, wow, if you want to bring light to like your fears and your doubts and like shame, become an entrepreneur because it will just bubble it all up. And I was like, you know, I was struggling to like send an email because it wasn't perfect and I would just stare at it forever and ever. And I was like, I can't keep doing this. This is going to keep my business from growing.
Yeah.
And so I had to, I started doing some inner work. And honestly, if anyone is listening who can relate to this, I highly recommend Brené Brown. Yeah. She is a researcher, an author, a spirit guide in my mind. And I opened her book, Daring Greatly. And on the first page, I sobbed. I was like, just, it felt like she was writing it to me. So like high school me. And that kind of set me off on this journey. I started researching more about what perfectionism actually meant and how it shows up in our businesses. And now it's a big piece of, you know, what I share and how I support my clients.
Would you say perfectionism is also linked to comparison, comparing yourself to everyone else around you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, yeah, that's definitely something that I don't even want to say I struggled with because I still, it comes up probably, you know, every quarter, every 90 days, I find myself in a little comparison spiral.
Oh my gosh, that's so accurate. I can relate to that.
Every
so
season,
much.
Seasonal like, change.
No, actually, I kind of got it now. Oh, there it is.
There it is. It's back.
Yep.
And so I that's one of the things that I've had to become really aware of. And I have these kind of things that I do when that pops up. Like I will have an unfollow, like frenzy, like anyone that is kind of triggering me. I'm like,
really
I love
will?
You. Yes, I will.
Oh, yeah. Michelle, that's so, yes.
Follow-up question to that. Are you scared they're going to pay for a service that alerts them when you unfollow? Or, I found out, snooze. Because I've been snoozing people on Facebook. And someone said, if they pay money, I think they can see when you do that. And then this whole, like, panic ensued. Like, I snoozed 3 people. And I felt so in control of my life. And now I'm afraid they can see.
Yep.
Yeah.
How do you wrestle with that?
I think at that point I would just be like, I love you, but you're stressing me out. So this is what I have to do for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny because when I talk to people, the people I unfollow are my friends in the entrepreneur space, right? Because we're closest to them. And so I will have friends that I followed, you know, or been part of a mastermind or something like that. And, you know, they'll be going through something and I'm like, I can't see one more post from you. I love you. I wish you well. And I do, I do love them. And I send them good energy, but for me, because I need to be my best self to show up and run my business and be a mother and be a wife and a woman, I have to remove those pieces. And so,
can you give an example? Yeah. I want to double click on this, but like, what would be like a trigger for you?
Right. Yeah. So let's say I'm launching something in my business, like a group program or something. And I notice a friend is doing it as well. And they're just, you know, the online space can be a little deceiving. And so they're just talking about like the cart is almost full, you know, and this person signed up and look at all these. I just had a 50K month, you know, and that is a big one for me because one of the things I think perfectionists really struggle with is it's never good enough, right? Like, we could have done something miraculous that we had never done before, but we're just always going and striving for that next level. And so I have to be really conscious of when I am kind of just pushing myself to go, not paying tribute to what I've accomplished and only focusing on all the things I haven't done yet.
Oh my right. gosh, so much wisdom Whoa. In those sentences.
And enough would never be enough. Like, right. like there's no end to it. Because even mm-hmm. if you had a great launch, it's still like, but it could have been this mm-hmm. much or whatever.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I've had to be aware of. And that's the hardest part, I think, about really struggling with perfectionism, especially, again, as an entrepreneur, is being aware of that and celebrating those small moments and checking yourself when you're constantly like, oh, it's not enough. It's not enough. Because it can just keep going, you know, for the end of time.
Forever. Or you could be like me and I sometimes will be like, eh, if they're already doing it, then I won't, you know, like, right, and I just don't right. do it.
If you can't commit it with perfection.
Right.
You don't do it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you sound to me like someone who has, what's that word, Shaylee? Boundaries?
Boundaries.
Like good, healthy right. boundaries.
Mm, she okay. does what she needs
you
to be healthy.
You do what you need to be healthy. And if someone's feelings are a little bit hurt, you can actually just keep living.
Keep living your life.
I see.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And this is like what I say and what I actually feel are probably different. But even like, when we were picking bridesmaids for weddings a decade ago or whatever, I was always like, if someone gets so mad at you that they're not your bridesmaid, they shouldn't have been your bridesmaid anyway. Or like if someone...
Ooh, you can call it the bridesmaid test.
Right, right. Or like if they're going to literally not be your friend anymore because you unfollowed them on Instagram,
they probably
did you
weren't your friend,
them as a friend?
Right.
Like, is that someone you want close in your life? However, I say that and then
you'll take
I freak out, right, that they're going to like, no.
That's interesting, though. It is. I tend to just delete the app for a while. I log off constantly. I'm logged off yeah. right now.
There you go.
It's great. Okay, well, that's really good. I like that. I'm going to have to unpack that for a couple days, probably. Okay, so then let's talk about, you sound very confident. You sound very self-accepted. Did you always feel that way, or has that been a little bit of a journey?
It's definitely been a journey. I think I've always come across that way because, again, perfectionism, like, why would I not come across like I had it all together? Especially growing up when I didn't feel like I fit in. And, you know, now it's so funny because people will message me every single day and be like, oh my gosh, I love your hair. Cause I have red hair. No one knows this. And growing up, it was like the worst thing in the world, you know? And it's just like
right.
little things like that. But I really think that the first time after, you know, when my brother passed away and I kind of was like, I'm going to do again, the boundaries, I'm going to do what I want to do because this is my life. I get one of those and I'm going to do what makes me happy, even if people don't like what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And then again, with my son, when I was like, this is my opportunity, postpartum, when I didn't really recognize who I was anymore, I was like, this is my opportunity to fully be who I've kind of always wanted to be and present myself in that way. And I've always kind of felt like I was going between two different people, the really free-spirited person and the like structured, has it all together, perfectionist. And I kind of let myself step into a nice blend of the two. And so it's really just been in the past 3 years that I have really felt like myself 100%.
Wow. You like her?
I like her. We like her.
Yeah, we like her.
It doesn't matter what we like, Michelle.
It doesn't matter to you, but we do like you.
I appreciate that.
Okay, and then I would love just, I am like obsessed with practical strategies and tips.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any takeaways that we can actually put into practice, I mean, I actually feel like I have like a list
just
of seven
in
right
general,
now.
Just in life, or just for us, just us, not the listeners,
just you guys.
Listeners? I mean, you know, I'm the one with the microphone, so the listeners can take it away too. Shaylee and I are both, we're both raising kids. I have four. She has one with one on the way.
One on the way.
Yeah. And we both, you know, we both are entrepreneurs. Mine's in photography, hers is in videography. And then obviously we have this podcast too. So do you feel like you've, people hate this word. It's like a trigger word.
Balance.
Ugh, it's a gross word.
But
do you feel like you've kind of stepped into this, like you've got your son, you've got your business, but do you have any practical strategies for either separating the two or...
Mm.
I don't know. Do you feel successful in both most of the time?
Yeah. So I would say that the word that I started using was harmony because
it's a fancy balance.
It's a fancy balance because it doesn't mean equal because it's never equal. And I think for me, that was a struggle that I had where I was like, I have to be the same at this and this at the same time. Where it's like, sometimes I'm going to be a better business owner and sometimes I'm going to be a better mom. And sometimes I'm going to take better self-care of myself. And so one of the tips that I really recommend everyone do is pay attention to your seasons, because whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a mother, whatever, you have these seasons that you go through. And to know that maybe this is the season that you really have to be on in your work. And then this is the season when you can take a step back and you can be really hands-on with your family. And that's okay. And so again, it just goes back to the compassion and being aware of those seasons. And then I believe in boundaries, as we already talked about.
Tell us more about boundaries. I'm liking it.
Yeah. So I am a big advocate for boundaries. And one of my biggest ones is time. Like, we have this much time in a day, right? But we all have the same amount of time. So why can some people get more done than other people? And I really just think it's because we have to be aware of where our time is going and set in like place so that when we're focused on one thing, we can really be focused. And so running my business, like, my husband will, you know, take my son, you know, like, no distractions. Or I set aside time when I'm at a coffee shop and I'm like writing my emails and doing stuff like that, kid free. Like, I have to have those set boundaries in place so I can truly focus and create my best work. And the same goes for my family time, right? Turning off my phone, logging off of the app and being with my family. And it's the little tiny boundaries that we can put into play that can really make the biggest difference in creating that harmony.
Yeah. I love harmony because as two people who are also involved loosely or more than the other in theater,
I was heavily involved.
I was really involved in choir.
Yeah.
I was vice president.
That's important.
That's important.
I didn't know choirs had presidents.
Well, in my high school, they did. anyway, but I like the harmony because I would try, but I have a cold. but I like that, like, maybe the soprano or the high part is like a little bit louder, and it needs to be because with the note, you can't hear it as much as the lower note that needs to be a little softer. Or if you're literally thinking of like a little group, like a trio singing in harmony, like, you adjust it and it makes the whole piece more beautiful, and you're adjusting and tweaking. Different parts need to be louder or quieter at different times. I like that so much.
Beautiful.
We're going to steal it. I hope you trademarked it, because
this podcast ours. Just became Harmony.
Harmony. Shailene King.
And Michelle. I got a musical theater background too. You're totally speaking my language.
No, that's why I went there, man.
Went there. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. I love that.
Okay, so then do you also feel like there's days where you're like, did not nail that, not harmony?
Not very flat. No, yeah, like, yes. I definitely have those days. And this is a question that I get a lot, because if you haven't been following me for a long time, maybe you've been like, you check out my post for like a week, people will be like, you seem like you always have it together. I was like, obviously you weren't here last week when I didn't have it together. About that. So I try to
filter that one out.
That one didn't do as well. So I definitely have those moments, but you know, I think I don't show up as much when that happens. And I think that's fine. Because I'm going through that, whether I'm grieving, which we've recently gone through, or, you know, I'm making a shift in my business, or I'm doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes. Like, I'm still consistent. That's one of my superpowers. I'm still showing up, but maybe I'm not giving as much of me in those moments. I'm saving it for myself. And I think that's the biggest piece of the puzzle. So I have bad days all the time. But I keep those, I like work through those bad days in the moment. Cause if I don't, they just snowball. And then, you know, you find yourself in a position where you aren't showing up for weeks at a time, or, you know, you aren't making money in your business. And as an entrepreneur, that is, it's scary. It's really scary. And it's something that happens to a lot of entrepreneurs. And so again, just like being aware, working through that stuff at when it presents itself is one of the biggest pieces for me.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. I like that not showing, like, it's okay if you don't show up for a day because you need that time for yourself.
Totally. Like, and like you said, like, yeah. And you never know what someone's going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until I do my mandatory grieving close.
Right.
Patent pending.
And then everyone will know. Yeah.
Can we make it like a hat or something? Like we
a hat? Have to wear a hat. That would be hat.
You know what I say we do? We just make one of those cheesy borders that people can add over their profile picture.
Would you like to add a temporary grieving like border?
A really opaque black shadow that just almost like completely.
Guys, you're laughing. This is really good stuff. I'm going to do it. Stuff.
Really smart.
I just need someone to manage my new brand.
We just need someone to manage it out into the world.
Okay, so then can I just throw in a greedy ask? Can you give us a inspirational speech to start on our email list just real fast? Can you like
is that your segment?
Can you chew us out a little bit and just tell us to do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So I'm a big advocate for email lists because those are your people. Like those are the people who said, yes, I want to hear from you. And if you're not talking to them, they're going to go somewhere else.
But it's not perfect, Michelle. It's not written at all.
We're just taking like years to ourselves.
I think that like I have so many clients who are like, oh, I have an email list and I haven't emailed them in like 3 months. And like that first one is going to be so scary. Like you're going to want to poop your pants, but it'll be fine. And like you just have to write it. And the best email to write for anyone that has not been showing up is like, hey, this is where we've been. And so here's my feet. This is where we've been for 3 years. Right. Here's an update.
I think you're right. The first one, that's what feels so like, yeah. What are we going to do for the first one? I don't know. Let's just not do one.
Ever.
Exactly. Ever.
It's the same with like live video or doing your first Insta story. Like you just have to rip that Band-Aid off and do it. And then you're going to be like, oh, that was easy. I think that it's like the biggest part of being an entrepreneur. Like if anyone walks away from anything is like, relationships. It's all about relationships, whether you have a tiny list or a big list. And one of the best ways to like build those relationships is to show up consistently. And whether that's giving value or a tip or just sharing a piece of your story, like people want to hear from you and especially your email list, because they're the ones that actually said yes. You know, they didn't just accidentally follow you on Instagram. Now they're getting your feed. They put their email and their name in there and they said, hey, please email me. And I think that's just like one of the key pieces.
That's true. And we crossed our arms and said, no.
Michelle, we have them right where we want them.
Right where we want to be the girl in high school that you like ask to like sit at the table and she just doesn't respond. She just, that's what we're going for. That is not what we're going for.
It's a club. It's all laziness. Do you feel like you sit down and you batch a bunch of emails at once, or do you have like a designated time where you sit and write it?
Yeah. So since day one of my business, I did Sundays before. Now I do Mondays, but I sit down, I write all of my emails and all my social media posts in a 3 to 4 hour time frame.
For the week or for the
week?
Good job.
For the week.
Well done.
How often and frequent do you email and or post?
Yeah. So I post on Instagram daily and I email my list 2 to 3 times a week.
It's a slow clap for Michelle.
I love it.
That's great.
We are almost on the same track as her in our minds.
In our minds. You know what? We are as good
our
as
goals,
you.
Our goals our match minds. Up really closely with her reality.
If you ask what was ideal, my answer would have been the same as what you were doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
it's pretty much the same.
Good job. You should be like a business coach for women.
Oh, yeah. I should look into that.
That's a good idea. Okay, but credit us for that idea. Okay, cool. Okay, so we're going to play a segment about boundaries.
Boundaries.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This segment is
Katie called... has a background in improv, so she throws me and our sweet, sweet guests into fun scenarios. But you will do fine. Musical theater, you're good.
Okay,
improv is my weakness, so let's go and see how this goes.
Okay. I'm going to give you a scenario, and you're going to tell me what boundary I should put in place, okay?
Okay.
I'm about to host a day of mini sessions. I need to sell out about, like, 6 slots. And so I go on Instagram and I look at every single photographer that I know personally at their mini sessions and I count up how many slots they've sold. And then I spiral into a sad, deep shame
and I sit by myself and eat a lot of Oreos, should I put a boundary in place or is that healthy?
I feel like a boundary would be great here.
Cool.
Before we get to the Oreos again.
Before the Oreos. Okay.
Like just two Oreos. Yeah. That's where the line is. Hmm. Okay.
I think the boundary is not looking at what other people are doing.
That's good. That's good. Okay, Shayla, you got
one? Okay, I have one. Halloween was last night. I'm dating this episode. Sue me. I'm moving and we're living in my parents' apartment because we're renovating a house. And I started looking at all of the adorable freaking Halloween costumes people have handmade.
Yes. Yes.
And
did you handmake one?
I had a hand-me-down ballet outfit. And then I was like, I'm going to handmake some wings for this and make it a swan because a ballerina is not good enough. And so I was like, burned my fingers, pregnant and sick, trying to make these wings. It did turn out really cute. But I felt a little peer pressured and then I still felt like it wasn't good enough. Mm. There were Mary Poppins families where the adults were dressed up. Some of our friends were like, made the like the Scooby-Doo wagon on a cart and the whole family.
What'd you say?
Saw that on Instagram.
Yes. Mara.
Mara, if you're listening.
Her husband made it. That's even worse. Her husband
I
made
know.
It.
No, I can't. No, I'm mad at my husband.
Now I'm mad at everybody. Relationships.
Okay, so where should the boundary have gone?
Yeah, where was that boundary?
You know, I got to be transparent. I felt a little bit of that last night. But the boundary was putting my phone away yet again. I think that's the best boundary that we can put in place.
Yeah. You're good.
I feel like that's the answer to like everything.
It really is.
Put your phone down.
This has been boundaries, Michelle Knight.
This has been boundaries.
Thank you. Okay. Awesome. Where can our listeners find you?
Yeah. Well, if you want to pick up your phone and go on social media now, you can find me. I'm really inspired them to do it. We just convinced them to not go on social media.
Join their newsletter.
Yeah, join my newsletter. You can do that on my website. It's brandmary.com. I will email you 2 to 3 times a week. Yeah. No, but seriously, like maybe next week. I like it. I'm really big on accountability, so I might email you next week.
Yay! And check it. You can.
You would
email. And we'll just not respond. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay.
I love it.
Instagram,
Brand Mary Coaching. My website is brandmary.com. And I also have a podcast. It's called Free to Be Podcast.
Cool. Love it. We will tag and link all of those in our show notes for you and in our post. And anything else, Katie? Any final thoughts?
Of course.
I just make sure you do that.
Yeah, we like you. Thank you for inspiring us on this rainy morning.
To Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. Today we have Michelle Knight. And let me tell you a little teaser. If you like Katie Day, you're going to love Michelle Knight.
Yes.
My alter ego.
She is so awesome. She's awesome because she's just like Katie. I'm going to do her intro so you're not hyping yourself. She is a storyteller, world traveler, and a business coach through her awesome business, Brand Mary.
Did we mention she's awesome?
She's awesome.
Can this be the blooper?
Okay, we're starting.
On the next episode, I, Shaylee, am going to update everyone on where we're at with our home.
You guys are done, right?
Don't worry about it. Stay tuned.
You moved in?
Don't worry about it.
Where are all of your objects?
Don't worry about it.
How soon are you having the baby?
Don't worry about it.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously. We love you.